It is 7:30, time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Amy Hagopian and Sasha Reiser-Kozitsky. Amy is co-chair of Garfield High School's PTSA, and Sasha is a sophomore student at Garfield High School, and we're going to be talking about the counter-military recruiting efforts that are going on there. Amy and Sasha, thank you for coming in this morning.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Let me begin and ask you both, how did you get involved with this issue?
Well, our PTA began looking at military recruitment near the beginning of the school year. We had a group come to us of parents and faculty who wanted to look at the issue and inform the PTA membership about how recruitment happens and what the practices are and develop a position on this. So we spent some time looking at this. We had a general membership forum on the topic where we had a panel of people come in and talk with us. So this was a very carefully considered step that we took after looking at it for quite a while.
I came in during the forum, actually. It was the first general meeting of PTSA I'd attended, and the presentations at that forum were very moving and very compelling arguments against military recruiting in the schools. We had a senior from high school in, I believe, Eastern Washington talking about some of her awful experiences with recruiters being pursued and having tons of phone calls when she made very clear to the recruiters that she did not want to be recruited. She was not interested in the military whatsoever. She was now in college in Seattle, and she was still getting mail from the Army.
So you went from these meetings towards a actual resolution. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. The committee that put on the forum drafted a resolution, which the PTA board adopted in April, and then that resolution went to the full membership in May, and it was endorsed with a wide margin.
And can you tell us what the resolution actually is, what came out of that?
Well, the heart of the resolution says the U.S. military should not recruit in public schools. There are many reasons why we might object to military recruiting on campus. Not all of us agree on all the issues, but we feel that schools are not a place for military recruiters. We also say that Garfield students should learn the basic tenets of international law, including the U.N. Charter, the Geneva Conventions, the Nuremberg Principles. I think one of the byproducts of this has been that the school district has started paying more attention to this issue. They were, I guess, in some ways forced to, given the level of response there has been from not just around the country but around the world to our little PTA taking this stand. Their email and phones were ringing off the hook, and so they're now paying attention. They're surveying the other high schools about how they approach recruitment. The attorney for the school district came to our last board meeting and said that they would set up a hotline email account for people to report recruitment experiences so that the district could keep track. I think there will now be some interest in teaching our kids more about the role of the military in society and understanding what a commitment means to join the military.
So was it right after you passed this resolution that the media grabbed hold of that?
There was a reporter at the meeting where we passed it who wrote a story for the Christian Science Monitor. And from there, it went to various blogs, which was a new experience for me. And these were, I think, at the beginning at least, mostly right-wing blogs. And so the outrage just poured back into my email box and telephone calls. I'm still getting telephone calls from that one article. And then it seems to me mostly that television stations pick up from print media. And so we got requests to be on MSNBC, ABC Television, lots of local radio stations. It's been an endless stream of requests for media appearances, and it continues.
And what has been the media response so far?
The media response seems mostly, not entirely, but mostly negative. There was We've had actually two editorials in the Seattle Times condemning our actions for a variety of reasons. I sent them a letter to the editor. They didn't print it. But it was very interesting. They took a poll on one of the talk shows, the MSNBC talk show, I think, of the viewers and how they felt about the issue. And it was 70% of the viewers felt like the Garfield PTSA had done the right thing.
So, Sasha, tell me, what was the student body's response to when this resolution came out?
The student body, I still think the vast majority of the students have never heard of the issue, don't watch the media, don't watch television, don't listen to the radio, don't read the articles in the papers about the issue mostly. And those who do think, well, it doesn't really affect me. Not many of the people are intending to join the military, and those who do can. The resolution does nothing to prevent them from doing that. So it doesn't really change all that much. And most of the students, the response has been non-existent. They're not very educated. They don't really know what's going on.
Yet again, you get the impression from the media and some of the local media that, my gosh, you guys are basically have, you know, managed to get the Seattle school districts to keep recruiters completely out of the school.
Well, I think people are starting to learn about the legal requirements of public schools to offer access to our kids for the military. No Child Left Behind, George Bush's supposed education reform bill, guarantees access to public schools for the military for recruitment purposes, and also requires schools to forward to the military the names, addresses, and phone numbers of all the students, at least all those students whose parents haven't specifically stated that they don't want their names forwarded to the military. And it's for recruitment purposes. I don't think anybody knew that about No Child Left Behind when it was first passed. That was certainly not an advertised portion of the bill.
And prior to this, was the information on students protected?
There's always been federal law that that parents needed to sign a form if they wanted to remove their kids from information lists that would be forwarded to college recruiters or job recruiters or even the media, you know, when the media come through a school and take pictures and so on. So this form called FERPA has become a much more important form for people in the context of No Child Left Behind and military recruitment. And Seattle's actually been pretty progressive on this because our school district has created a separate box on the form that parents can check that says, yes, you can release my kid's name to Harvard, but not to the military. And I suspect there aren't many school districts around the country that have gone that far.
And my understanding is that if the school district doesn't cooperate with releasing of that info, then they would be penalized with federal funding. They would get that cut off.
Not if you sign the form. The form it's part of federal law that you can sign the form. Now, if they weren't releasing it and no forms had been passed out, no forms had been signed, then penalization probably would happen. But since the form it's all legal and mandated by federal law, it seems like they would not be penalized.
Okay.
Right, but barring recruiters would result probably in the loss of federal funds, especially given the level of attention we've received.
Well, speaking of the level of attention locally here, I think it was the PI that was the first to run an article about this, and they had an article with an accompanying picture of, I believe, you, Amy, with a showing a photo to a recruiter and making a emphasizing that you were pushing the recruiter as to the realities of what was going on in Iraq. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, they come to the school and set up a table and they want to hand out water bottles and refrigerator magnets and pens and pencils and lots of cute giveaway toys. They also give away a CD with a fairly violent video game on it. Of course, when you recruit somebody to something, you're not going to tell them about the downside. This is a salesman. They're not going to mention that your mom could get a knock on the door from a couple of guys telling her that you've been killed. They're not going to tell you about all the people who've lost their limbs and are trying to learn to walk with prosthetic legs. This isn't part of a recruitment discussion. So kids miss that whole piece. And these are kids. You know, most of them, the English teacher at Garfield last week was telling me about a kid who enlisted during his junior year. He was about 16. He will spend the summer between his junior and senior year at boot camp. He will come back and finish senior year, and then he will be shipped off. And it just seems to me a remarkably young age to make that sort of commitment and make that kind of decision about how you want to lead your life. Because I think one of the things we're learning is that to be killed is one thing, but to kill other people really has lifelong effects on your mind. And the VA psychiatrists in Seattle will tell you that they completely predicted the post-traumatic stress syndrome burden that they were going to face several months into the war as people started to return. And it's a huge burden. And that's another thing that we don't tell kids about. So the recruiters make this seem very appealing. And I think it's our job and the school's job to point out that there are aspects of this that are not at all appealing and that are actually immoral. So when they caught that picture with me, the recruiter was trying to tell me that there are actually very many safe jobs in the Marines. There are lots of jobs that don't put you in harm's way. And if that's what he's telling kids, that they could get a safe job in the Marines, that's really disingenuous.
It's actually kind of funny. You look at some of their recruiting information, some of what the recruiters are specifically tasked to be doing at Garfield. It's recruiting for the Marine Band. But unfortunately, once they sign you up, there's no guarantee you go into the Marine Band. You'll go wherever they tell you to go, wherever they put you. You don't have any say in it whatsoever. And once you are in the Marine Band, they can move you out again.
So in addition to the article, obviously, there has been since then a lot of letters to the editor. A lot of people have been contacting you. Some of the responses, I just want to get your response to their reactions, is that first off, that students at this age are old enough to make decisions on their own. They don't need their parents or people in the PTSA telling them what to do.
Well, these are kids who are making lifelong decisions, and many of them are mature enough to make those decisions, and many aren't. A decision to go to college, for example, is a decision with not a huge level of risk. It's a decision that you can remove yourself from. A decision to go to a voc tech school, a decision to get a job on an assembly line, those are all revocable decisions. A decision to join the military is irrevocable. You can't decide that you made a mistake, or that you no longer want to do this, or that you don't want to kill people. You're in. And schools need to communicate to kids really the seriousness of this decision. And I think young people, in many cases, can't see that far ahead, and they view themselves as invulnerable. And that worries me. There are recruiting stations down the street. We're not kidding ourselves that the recruiters aren't going to get access to kids. But why do you think they're going after kids? They're not going after 30-year-olds. They're going after young kids, and they're going mostly after young kids who view themselves as not having other choices in the world. Kids who are of low income, they especially like African-American kids because the statistics those kids face are extremely poor. And that's why they want to come to Garfield High School. They don't want to go to Lakeside High School, our most elite private prep school in the city. And as a matter of fact, they don't go to Lakeside. I called there and asked. Lakeside has not had a graduate enroll in the military in 10 years. So it's clear they are looking for a certain demographic. This is a demographic they're going to find in the public schools, especially inner city public schools. That's why they're so desperate to maintain their access, and that's why they snuck in on No Child Left Behind. They want to look for kids who perceive themselves as not having good, viable alternatives after high school.
And what would be your response to, I think, probably the most popular reaction to counter recruiting in general, which is these people, people like yourself, wouldn't even have the option of publicly speaking out on this issue if it weren't for the people serving in the military in the first place.
That assumes that this resolution is an anti-military resolution that bars recruiters, which it obviously does not do. This, the most important part of the resolution was read earlier today. The U.S. military should not recruit in public schools. Should. And it doesn't say it shouldn't recruit. It's just in public schools. And public school students can still be recruited. It's just not on school property itself. Like Amy was saying before, there is a recruiting station a few blocks down from Garfield, and there's absolutely nothing preventing students from going down there and signing up if they want to sign up. There's nothing in here that says that the military can't recruit or the military shouldn't recruit anywhere. They can still recruit. And it says in the resolution itself that every Garfield student should be made aware of and be assisted in assessing appropriate and affordable career opportunities and educational programs, including the military. This is just where most of the resolution is saying that these students should be more educated on what joining the military actually entails and what you might be asked to do in the military and stuff surrounding what the military does, and then that the military should not be doing this on the public school grounds itself.
You know, my other response to that would be that the writer of that comment assumes that it's the military that has brought us our civil rights, and it's not. It's the Constitution, and it's political activism that protects our civil rights. I don't understand how sending my teenager to go kill some teenager in Iraq protects my civil rights in any way. That connection just doesn't make logical sense to me. If this country were engaged in civil wars or legal wars around the world for just causes, perhaps that would be a legitimate argument. But we're not defending ourselves in our current wars around the world. We're not protecting our citizens. We're not advancing our freedoms in any particular way. And I think that's why there's so little support for this war nationally in the U.S.
So are you working on any efforts to get more information out to people when recruiters show up to help educate people on these other options and move towards, let's say, curriculum? You were talking about international law, things like that, moving towards curriculum in the schools that focuses on that?
There is a group that's forming in Seattle that's trying to organize a more consistent response from school to school on recruiting days so that there can be counter-recruitment information offered to students. Schools have to figure out how to build this into curriculum, and it's hard, especially since we've faced so many budget cuts this year. For example, Garfield had to cancel its race relations and its African history courses this year because of budget cuts. It's a struggle to figure out how to do this and how to find the resources to build this in. But that would be the goal, to help kids understand this through our curriculum process. But that's going to be tough.
And are there other... give us a sense for how often military recruiters are at Garfield High School, and are there other recruiters that you see with any regularity coming in to promote their businesses?
Well, it looks like the recruiters come to Garfield on the first Wednesday of each month. The career counselor sets that up. There are, of course, recruiters I've seen all colleges. You know, there's a provision of federal law that says you must provide equal access for military recruiters as you do recruiters for any other options such as careers, jobs, businesses, or colleges. And so all recruiters for these various entities come fairly regularly.
But I think in fairness, the colleges typically come once a year. Harvard, Stanford, Bellevue Community College, they come in the fall as students are making their college application choices. And then that season sort of ends, and they're not back again until the next year. I think an argument could be made that an annual visit by the military would constitute equal access.
And have you been working with other PTSAs or like-minded organizations both before and since this became fairly popular in the media.
We've heard from other PTAs around the city. There are also student groups at other high schools. West Seattle comes to mind in particular, that have been very active on this issue. So my guess is that school ends in about 3 weeks for the summer. But as the fall gears up, and as we have, I'm going to predict, have had another terrible summer in Iraq, that interest in this issue will not die down, and that in the fall there will be more activism around this. And I'm really encouraging other PTAs to step out on this issue and start to look at the recruitment in their schools and what's happening, and to take a stand on it, even if their stand is to limit the equal access to what colleges are offered, which is an annual visit. I think that would be a legitimate response, and that PTAs have an obligation to do this. We had some support from the state PTA executive director, who called and expressed support for what we were trying to do and admiration for our willingness to have the courage to take this stand. And I didn't realize that we were going to be required to have this amount of courage because the response was just way more than I had ever anticipated it would be.
And you've been sort of the lightning rod on this to a degree. I mean, with the media attention and stuff, has the other members of the PTSA been faring similar to you?
Well, our email addresses are listed fairly prominently on the website, and other people have received a lot of email and are trying to cope with this. Others have stepped forward to take some of these speaking appearance requests. It's a great board at the PTA this year, and we've done a lot of interesting things this year as a PTA, way beyond this issue. We have kids at Garfield who aren't reading at grade level. They're a couple years behind. We organized a big effort this year to get reading tutors and adopt a reading program. Next year, we're going to bring in AmeriCorps volunteers to do reading. We've spent $50,000 on this program. We've had all kinds of programs this year. We instituted a computer program for teachers to communicate with parents about how their grades and assignments are going over the internet using passwords. We give small grants to teachers so that they can purchase equipment and supplies for their classrooms. We barcoded every textbook in the building so we wouldn't lose so many textbooks and could keep track and save money that way. We've had teacher recognition lunches every month. We're a very active, engaged PTA on lots of issues in the schools. We have a great new principal this year who everybody's been very supportive of, and we just gave him an outstanding educator award. It's a terrific PTA, and this is one of many things we've done this year.
And have the other things you've done this year, have they gotten any media attention?
No.
And yet they sound like very solid examples as well.
And we send out press releases about them.
Well, maybe you'll get more attention now. But do you see that you're having to do that as indicative of a failure of a greater system, that we're not supporting our schools to the level that we should be?
Oh, absolutely. Our PTA raises $140,000 a year to do all the programs in the school that we do. And most of those activities should be part of a basic education budget that the state should fund. And the state has consistently failed to adequately fund education. Just to reach the national average on funding per pupil, we would have to add $1,000 per student per year. And the legislature has failed to do this. I argue that the war in Iraq continues to consume resources that ought to be in public schools. And that's another huge reason to get the heck out of there and start spending our resources where they're needed. PTAs across the city and across the state are funding basic education in a way that's entirely inappropriate.
And do you think that also then contributes the kind of gutting of our education system that also then creates a ripe situation for recruiters coming into schools like yours?
As was said before, recruiters mostly seem to target those who don't have any other options after high school. And if they had been exposed in high school to wide-ranging, broad-based curriculum that was very strong, that would allow them possibly to get scholarships to expand their horizons, then maybe, maybe not. We don't really know. It hasn't been tried. We don't have the money.
You know, to graduate from public school in Washington State, you basically need to carry 5 periods a day of instruction, which is fewer than 5 hours, of course. However, to get into any kind of college, you require 6 periods a day. So the state funds the 5 periods, since that's all that's required to graduate. And the local districts have to raise levy money or do other things to offer 6 periods a day. Given Seattle's current budget shortfalls, it's going to be harder and harder for kids to get 6 periods a day, which means they won't be getting Spanish or Latin, or they'll be taking fewer science courses, fewer history courses, and they will not be prepared to go to college with that kind of a record.
Or getting their African American history classes cut.
Well, that too. Yeah.
So where do you go from here? What is the next step as far as you can see?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we will continue to try to reach out to other PTAs who really ought to be stepping up to this. When I hear from my friends around the country who read the New York Times yesterday, I ask them, so what's going on with recruitment at your school? And they realize that they haven't looked into this, and they need to do that. Every parent should be aware of what the recruitment situation is in their high school and notice whether it's being done in a way that promotes the welfare of kids or not. You know, the PTA's mission is to advance the health and welfare of students across the school. I'm afraid PTAs typically attract the middle-class families, especially moms, who have the time and the resources to give to this volunteer activity. And it's not their kids who are at risk for being recruited. So it's tempting for PTAs to kind of let this issue slide. But if you're a PTA that's really representing the interests of all the kids in your building, you really need to look at this issue. And responsible PTAs are going to start taking stands on military recruitment.
That was one of the interesting things the Seattle Times attacked us for in their editorials. They said we're politicizing the PTSA. And unfortunately for the Seattle Times, the PTSA has almost always been a political organization. They have legislative assemblies. They have legislative priorities that they want to see the legislature and the national government pass to help fund schools and further the health and welfare of students in public schools. And for this, they employ lobbyists and endorse politicians. These are political actions.
And yet the Times seems to have their own agenda as well on different issues, including this one.
Well, the Times has an editorial page, and they're entitled to advance their editorial opinions there, such as removing the estate tax so that the Blethens can keep this newspaper within their family in a profitable way. And they're entitled to their opinions. The PTA, however, has a mission, and to the extent that our mission requires us to look out for the interests of all the students in our building, we're going to pursue that mission.
And Sasha, do you see yourself getting, do you see this as an inspiring act, and do you see yourself getting involved more in issues like this?
Yes, I do. We hope to organize some sort of group that would come every time the recruiters come next year and have counter-recruitment literature and kind of watch them and watch what they do.
So how can people find out more about your resolution and the group that you're going to be forming, Sasha?
Well, to join, you'd obviously have to be in the greater Seattle area. We hope to have something about it on the PTSA website, which you can find off the Garfield High School website, which is ghs.seattleschools.org, I believe.
There's also a website called leavemychildalone.org, which is a national website that people can log into and figure out what's going on in their areas. And I think they try to organize some national days of response. And I think June 7th might be some activity that's coming up. And I haven't tracked it very closely, but that might be an opportunity for people to pay attention.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
We have just been talking with Amy Hagopian, who is co-chair of the Garfield High School PTSA, and Sasha Reiser-Kozitsky, who is a sophomore student at Garfield High School.